Hey, this is Tommy Victor from Prong, and you're listening to That Metal Interview Podcast.
That Metal Interview.
You can call them a groove band, you can call them a heavy metal band. I am speaking of Prong, a band formed in 1986 in the city of New York City. And it's fronted by Tommy Victor, guitarist, vocalist. On bass, presently, they have Jason Christopher on bass and backup vocals. And you got Tyler Boglioli on the drums. That rounds up the three-piece, the trio that is from New York City by the name of Prong. For those of you that are not aware of Prong, they've been around since 86. So I don't know where you've been living that you've never heard of them. But us metalheads do know who they are. And we have the frontman on the show on this episode of That Metal Interview. We have Tommy Victor, the legendary Tommy Victor of Prong, vocalist and soul guitarist. And he also plays guitar for Danzig. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, he is the sixth string master for the band, fronted by Glenn Danzig, presently of Danzig, and I guess you can say presently of the Misfits, as they are still doing a couple of shows, right? Sporadically. So anyways, let's listen to one of Prong's newest singles and videos from their brand new album, State of Emergency. This is Descent. Check it out. We'll be right back. anthemic, very metal, and very rockish for sure. The lyric video, you can find it on YouTube. You guys can stream it. You can also stream it on any music format that you guys use to check out your music, right? Name of the song is Non-Existence by the New York band Prong from their brand new album, State of Emergency, dropping October 6th. So let's go directly to the interview with the great Tommy Victor, frontman, guitarist, vocalist for Prong. Check it out. So I first heard of Prong in 1991, bought the cassette back then, so thank you for the great music.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much for the comment.
Yeah, Beg to Differ, that was a cassette. Awesome stuff. How many tracks from Beg to Differ do you guys still do?
Oh, we do a lot. Mainly the title track, Lost and Found. We may be bringing For Dear Life back in. I guess those are the main ones that we do. So, I don't know why I said a lot. That's only three. What am I missing? Yeah, that's it.
About three tracks.
Beg to Differ, we always do. We've been playing that song continually for years.
Yeah, it's a badass song.
Thank you.
Let's speak of your new single, The Descent. Talk to us about the making of it, or the whole album if you want. Let's talk about the State of Emergency, dropping October 6th, right?
October 6th.
Are you the main songwriter, or who picked the ideas?
Yeah, I wrote everything completely. In the last couple of years, last records, rather, it'd be more collaborative. Like, some songs I wrote all myself, but I had it here and there. I had co-writers, but this record, no, I wrote everything myself in my apartment in New York. And during the day, I was like dropping my son off to daycare, running back home, setting up my computer, putting the riffs down, and working on stuff, and then pick him up and, cook dinner and put him to bed and go to sleep and do the whole thing over again, like from 9 to 5. So last year, from June to August of 2022. Yeah, The Descent, that actually was one of the songs that, if anything, that we rearranged. It was sort of a slower song, and Steve Evitz, the producer, thought it would be better if it was faster. That was really the only song that had any arrangement changes from the demos I made, like, by myself. So it was the same lyric and same main riff, but it was a lot slower.
Yeah.
So we needed a fast song. After writing 10 songs, I realized that we needed a fast song. So that's what. What was I saying? Yeah. So we had to do a fast one, and that was that. So
yeah. So right now, you're speaking of The Descent, right? And then, okay.
Yeah.
So for people that don't know, you mentioned dropping off your son at daycare and coming home when laptop and all that. The first step is a drum click, right? You do a drum click first, and then you build around that, right? A guitar riff.
as far as making demos, I just set I have riffs, and then I set the BPM on the computer and decide where it's going to land.
Yeah.
And then I just write without even a drum track. Like, I don't even attempt programming drums anymore. I just cut out that process. So the demos that I make, they're just like these sloppy demos of just the guitar part arrangement. And then that's it. And then I'll throw it in. Then I'll send that to the drummer or later on, like with other records, we did do program drums at first, and then I would do the vocals. Then, for the demo, I would do the vocals then. Well, this one, I didn't do that. I just completely because of time. I just said I'm not going to do that process. I could know where the drummer's going to put in something cool there, and I don't worry about it that much.
Yeah, you can picture the song. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So, do you listen to music or some type of a band or something, or do you watch a movie, read a book before you sit down with a guitar?
That's a great question. Basically, because I was driving my son to school, and I was listening to music in the car with him, and that's pretty much about the only time I did that. So that was probably about a half hour before I started working in the mornings.
Okay, cool. Wow.
I could tell you what I was listening to in that period. I was. Because I moved back to New York, we were living in L.A., and then my family and I moved back to New York, and then I moved like not too far from where I grew up, so I just had this feeling, oh man, this is cool. The weather was different, and L.A. is always like the same nice, and with this rainy, crappy weather, and I started listening to a lot of the records that I did when I was a kid. So
okay,
that includes Rush. And then includes Sabbath, Volume 4, and Zeppelin.
Okay, so 70s.
That was like the main. Yeah, exactly. That was the main menu that I was listening to. And you know, my little boy, he was really into Volume 4, like me. Like, ever since he was born, I was taking care of him. I've been playing that record. So he's like, he's so familiar with it, even though he doesn't really talk that much. He sort of knows the record.
Yeah, he knows the riffs and the music, yeah.
He does, yeah.
That's cool. A young rocker, young rock, cool.
He is, totally.
So, I guess you answered one of my questions right there. I was going to ask, do you think of your last record when you're writing a riff, or do you go with fresh ideas? But, yeah, we just answered.
Totally
yeah.
fresh. Especially on this one. And it's just, I really like the way we calculated this one. I mean, it was a period where I probably could have started a little bit of the writing out in L.A., but we're in the process of moving. I got off the road on a tour, so it was kind of a difficult period. And like Ollie was like, "When are you getting from the label?" He's like, "When are you going to start doing this?" I'm like, "After I move to New York, let me settle in there, and then I'll start writing then." Because I thought that. And then I could say I wrote everything in New York. It was there, and it was a good, solid, session. So, and we recorded there everything. So that was really the deal. Was sitting there making so yeah. So yeah, it worked out really well. I liked the way everything worked out on the writing, and the other records were more scattered. I collaborated a little bit more. This one was just me, myself. And then after that first demo period, then I had to like work on the lyrics.
Yeah.
And you know, during the guitar writing period, like I would come up with like song titles and little ideas here and there, and then I would finish them up after all the music was written.
Oh, very cool. So how about the album title? What's behind that? The State of Emergency. Is it?
I think that ties in all the lyrics. I mean, it could apply to having a personal state of emergency, like the guy in The Descent. Like he's just like I'm lost. He's in a crisis himself, so he's sort of in a state of emergency on a personal level. Then you can apply the state, like you know, the government is corrupt and evil, so. You know, it's a state of emergency. Then it also it looks into the alarmist attitude of the media, which they're always saying it's a state of emergency. State of emergency. Everything's an end of the world all the time, and keeping people in fear. So, like, a state of emergency could be on a personal level, yeah. Could be like in a political level, or you know, a media level. So, I thought it applied. To you know, a good chunk of the songs,
yeah.
And then after that, like I did have another song that needed a new lyric, so that was this the title track, State of Emergency. So I wrote a whole new lyric based on that song, that album title, and that's that song, State of Emergency, and that song sort of ties all these things in together. That's like the main statement song of the record.
Very cool story there. Cool. So speaking of guitars, for guitar players asking, when you lay down guitar tracks, is there a go-to guitar, or how many different guitars do you use?
I don't use that much. On this record, primarily I use my own signature model, but a standard bridge version, like the one that's available in the stores or online from Schecter, the Tommy Victor model. It's a double cutaway model with EMGs in it, and I use a version I have without the whammy bar on it, without the Floyd Rose on it.
Yeah.
So I have a basic standard bridge version of that, and then I also used I guess it's a mid '90s Les Paul custom, which is like an SG, and it's like a three pickup SG, and I use that. I think those are the only two guitars I really use. And the solos, I would use the regular Tommy Victor model with the tremolo, because some of the solos have trem on it, have the whammy bar. So
yeah,
I use that for solos.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much those are the three guitars I used.
How about your favorite track on this album? Which one is it?
I don't really know if I have that one. I think, but like, from a heavy mentality, I would say The Descent is my favorite. You know, I like the breakdown in the middle, and I think it's a good heavy song. We were also doing Breaking Point. I like that one too. I think that's got a cool riff, and
yep.
It's kind of a hard song. You know, like I do these other songs that are not really that, maybe not as hard, and some of those are interesting, but I like some of the, like I said, either Breaking Point or The Descent. From a lyrical standpoint, I like Non-Existence the best. You know, that's a little bit more of a poppy song.
Yeah.
But I like the lyric to me is good one. It's not really involved with the whole state of emergency concept. But it's not really, everything's sort of political, but that one, the lyric is more of a positive lyric. The other songs seem to be darker. That one has this whole attitude, like, you know, it's better to be alive than dead. So
yep.
Better to be, you know, so that was really what the message is on that song is.
So how many new tracks are you guys doing live?
Well, we've been doing three.
Three?
Yeah. We haven't really worked up State of Emergency yet. We may do that, but right now it's three.
You guys just played at the Metallica parking lot concert deal. How did that go?
Yeah. It was great. There was a little technical difficulties with the generators outside of MetLife, but I thought it was a success. Like, when we finally got on and played, it was great. I mean, it was a panicky day. Like, nothing was working. You know, weather was kind of crappy. You know, we worried that people were going to be there. Like, I don't know. You know, a lot of people didn't know, and then they had a lot of problems getting people into the stadium, and traffic was just absolutely out of control. So, you know, and it was Friday afternoon, so it was like people with drips and drabs coming in there. So I was a little getting panicky that no one was going to be at the gig. Believe it or not, you have 80,000 people inside, and you know, there's a gig out in the parking lot, and like no one knows about it. So, but it was good. I sort of wish we played Sunday, but then I was packed out. But you know, it was cool.
Yeah, I saw a couple of clips on YouTube, Beg to Differ, and a couple of tracks. Yeah, sounds okay. You guys sound badass. Yeah,
thank you.
I haven't checked you guys out. So, any trips down to Texas anytime besides Danzig, of course.
Well, I mean, we're trying to. It's just I got to get on a right tour, and you know, I don't want to do something that's just like a waste of time. So we're trying to figure something out. There's nothing planned yet. We're trying. There's been talks about some stuff. So we'll see what happens.
So for people that don't know, you've been playing with Danzig since the late '90s, say '96, '97. Is that so?
It started like actually maybe 96, but then I've been in and out. I've been consistent for the last 15 years. So, you know, I guess it was like 27 years ago I started playing with them, and then now it's like 15 years consistent. I was sort of in and out. Like, I did a big stint with Ministry, and, you know, then, you know, and then I was just doing Prong all the time. So I was in and out of Danzig, but I've been playing. Glenn doesn't do that many shows now, so I've been able to fit it into my schedule for the last 15 years.
Nice. So you're in Detroit right now, huh? You're doing a gig tonight with Danzig.
Yes.
Nice. So how's the tour going? Everything smooth?
It's going great. I mean, it's a really good tour. I mean, we were, you know, like with Behemoth on the tour too, and it's just kicked. Yeah, and Midnight. It's been really kicking ass. Like, I mean, some really good shows, especially in San Antonio. I don't know what we were into, but both well, Dallas was a little, you know, like Dallas, but San Antonio was off the hook. It was a good show.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, I'm close to San Antonio, so I was going to go to that, but I couldn't, last minute, couldn't make it. Next time.
Right. Next time.
So
let me know, I'll put you on the list.
Awesome. Appreciate that. Wow. Does Danzig, does Glenn mix up the set list, or do you guys just have a set list?
Yeah, it's funny you asked that, because he added a song that we weren't really playing, and he wanted to do it in sound check. I'm like, dude, I haven't reviewed the solo, because there's a lot of songs in the Danzig catalog. It's like Prong, you know, and it's like a lot of solos, and I didn't write the song. I mean, it's all like John Christ stuff, so I'm like, I gotta review the solos. It's like, don't worry about the solo, we're not gonna do it later. So I was like in the dressing room, I have my rig set up, and like, listen, I'm like, I gotta go over this damn solo, because even though he says he's not gonna do it, I gotta review this thing. I was lucky that I did, because he called it out. Like, I'm like, Jesus, it's like, and it's not an easy song. So yeah, I mean, he pulls a lot of surprises on the band and me, and like, but for the most part, I mean, the record, we do in the first record, and then add other songs, like he just picks out of nowhere,
So which is the toughest song to play from Danzig?
They're all like challenging in their own way. I mean, I always have a problem with the ones that have the clean picking in it, because I got to switch between the clean and the dirty. And like everyone, when like How the Gods Kill, like it's like, and it's just, you just hear like this, the guitar and vocals, and it's like, if I fuck up, everyone could notice. So those ones, like Blood and Tears, How the Gods Kill, any of the ones that have
clean picking.
End of Time, have a gentle, clean guitar intro is always hard for me.
So do you use the same guitars for Prong?
I use my own signature model. Yeah.
Nice. So you've been recording with Danzig since Circle of Snakes, I believe.
Yes.
How is it working in the studio with Glenn? Is he kind of tough, or?
No, he's really easy on me. He's too easy on me. But he's very complimentary of me, and he's always like, I do like some basic thing, and he loves it, and he's just always happy. So sometimes I wish like he was more
strict or
selective on what guitar. Like I do a solo and he goes, that's great, goodbye, I'm in and out of there pretty quickly, so that's how it rolls.
There's a record, a Danzig record, that's kind of different than all of them, the Elvis one. Were you a part of that or not?
Yes.
Wow, that's just completely off the wall. It sounds badass. How did that go? I mean,
well, he fit those. He said we were doing the Black Laden Crown record, and then he was like, I want to do the Elvis record too. So we were sort of switching back and forth. So it was a little more challenging for me, because I'm not too familiar with a lot of the Elvis material. So he was like, oh, tomorrow we're going in and we're going to work on some Elvis songs. I'm like, okay. And like, I know how fast he likes to work, so I was a little panicky about that. And then he mentioned, I go, what songs? He goes, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And like, I don't even know the song title. And then by the time he said it, he was like off the phone with me. So I had no idea going in there what he was going to do.
Wow.
Like, I had no preparation. And then, pretty much, this is the way he's like, okay, we're going to do this song. And I don't even remember which songs are on the record now.
Wow.
So, because I don't do the live shows anymore. I don't live in L.A. and he wanted to have an L.A. guy. So he played the stuff, and he's like, okay, yeah, he's right out the chords, and then he run a click track, and then I just play the chords, and then, okay, yeah, it's like that's pretty much done, you know, and then like, we'll just, you could do like a solo later or something. So it was like, again, it was really fast. I would have liked to, like, be more familiar with the songs and be able to do more like with Scotty Moore or the guys that, you know, that were playing on the records. But I guess he didn't want that, so it was sort of like, you know, here's the song, listen to it, you know, hear the chords, play it, bye.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is kind of hit and run, kind of, yeah. Pretty
yeah,
cool.
That's how he does. That's how he usually does stuff with me, is to spend that much time.
Give us your best gig and your worst gig so far.
I always said, I had so many bad gigs. I mean, there's more worse gigs than bad gigs. The worst gigs are the ones where we hardly even play. Like, we were out on tour with Flotsam and Jetsam in Wichita, and we had to keep playing. We opened up the set with Unconditional, which is unbrutal, but we had to keep playing it over because the power went out. People like, I'm like, what's going on with the power? They said, well, there's a tornado coming and it's going to hit the venue any second now. And it's just like, and it certainly did. And it ripped the roof off the place.
Really?
Yeah. Like, we were it was a terrible, unbelievable, horrible tornado hit the venue. And there was a blackout and cars had trees on it falling. And, it was just an absolute chaos.
Wow.
And then somebody slashed our tires in our van because these guys who came up, they wanted their money back.
Yeah.
And they got pissed off because they didn't get their money back, so they slashed our tires in our van. So we were like stuck in a blackout with no transportation in Wichita. Like, you know, the whole place was just blacked out and it was like devastation, and it was terrible. So that was a bad one. That was probably one of the worst ones we did. Fran's best one was, it was headlining Dynamo Festival in '94. It was like 150,000 people.
Nice.
And in Holland, in Eindhoven, and that was like the greatest show we ever did.
What's next for yourself, Tommy? You guys doing the tour? What's after this tour? What's on your agenda?
Yeah, well, I go back to Prong. I mean, we got... a record release. We have we're doing like a little in-store performance at a record store in New York, and then we do a show October 20th at Dingbats in Jersey.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so we're doing that, and then that's like a record release show, and then we tour with Life Agony in Europe in November.
Nice.
So I do. I'm pretty busy till the end of the year, really.
You're just a busy person. Yeah, before I let you go, would you like to send a message to your fans and friends listening?
Sure. I mean, I if you don't mind, go to prongmusic.com. We got a bunch of new merch going on for the new record. You can look at the new album cover and you can pre-order the new album, State of Emergency. It's from Napalm Records. So, go on there and... either on Napalm site or on prongmusic.com and through our own merch company. So pre-order the record, buy some t-shirts, help us out.
Awesome. Dropping October 6th, right? So thank you. Thank you, Tommy. Thank you for your time.
Thanks,
and James. Keep rocking, man. Appreciate that.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
Catch these guys live. You can catch them October 6th at the Record Stop in New York, where they will be performing 3 songs, I believe, an in-store performance and autograph signing as they celebrate the release of their brand new spanking album, State of Emergency. And you can also catch them, for those of you that are asking, October 20th, they will be at Dingbats, the legendary Dingbats in Clifton, New Jersey. You guys can catch them on October 20th as they are celebrating the release of the brand new album State of Emergency. So stream the videos, stream the songs, pre-order, look them up on their socials, on their website. The band is Prong, P-R-O-N-G. And that was a great conversation. Thank you, Tommy. Great chatting with a rock star legend as yourself. Also, of course, the guitarist for Danzig, legendary Glenn Danzig. So anyways, as far as the podcast, you know what to do. You know to subscribe if you like what you hear and see. Look us up on our socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at That Metal Interview, that T-H-A-T, that. And also, of course, YouTube, subscribe, ring the bell for the latest interviews and some news, only the important news, unlike other news medias. We only post the important news. So anyways, on behalf of your friend James, all the way from the state of Texas in the U.S. of A, on the third planet from the sun, thank you for your company. And stay tuned for more and more and more rock metal interviews. And don't forget to keep it metal.
That Metal Interview.